sense, I guess, say that those pieces are probably closer to a fiddle tune than to a song, especially the second of them. But I think in this music, he more often takes advantage of the fact that it's an instrument and can just play a lot more notes, so he can give you a lot more information. And I guess to be pointed out, Bach was a keyboard player, and he played everything. You know, he wasn't bad at anything, but he thought like a keyboard player, and he just wanted to give you a piece that was a little more complicated and had a little more interest, I think. And I think probably by my thinking, a little more beauty. Okay, I want to get my hands a rest, so I want somebody to ask me something. Yeah. How did I get to Telluride the very first time and what it meant to me? Well, I mean, I've loved it. I will say this, you know, my son is here and my wife, and we've been, I think George came for the first time when he was 2. I don't know how we missed the first year. I'm not sure. But I've been coming for long before that. The first time I came out was probably in 83, just for one song or two on a Vassar Clements set. I actually was just coming down to visit, and Bela drugged me on up on a big long song with about 5 sections, and I didn't know any of them. And so I've continued in that ilk to this day. But my first real official time was 1985, and I had just released a record that was, it was actually the Strength in Numbers People. It was, and I got, this is an interesting detail, I'd gotten that record deal, I was friends with Bela and Sam already, and they introduced me to Jerry and Mark, and to get my record deal, I paid each of them $50 to do this demo, and they liked the demo, so the 5 of us were the band for my first record, and that had just, maybe it hadn't even come out in 85, I think it was, or maybe it had, I think it had, I don't remember, but I think something happened where they had a hole, and they wanted this Thunder Jam, and it turned out to, and I think we volunteered, or I think maybe specifically, maybe Sam and Jerry and Mark and Bela said, well, hey, we just recorded this record of this guy, let's bring him out, and we'll do the Thunder Jam that way. So that was my first Telluride concert, was playing with the 5 of them in 85, filling that slot, and we had a glorious time. I'll never forget it. I love those guys, love this music, and love Telluride. So, been back almost every year since. Yeah. Have I always been playing fiddle tunes on the bass, or did I pick that up around Vassar Clements and other people? My father was a jazz bass player first, and then he went back to school and learned how to read music and use a bow. And so it was very important to him that I learned how to do that stuff early. And his record collection was all classical and jazz. And so that's kind of what I was, at least up to age 8 or 9 or 10. And I also played piano, and fairly early became, you know, semi-proficient in a dilettantish kind of way at jazz piano. And I'd play with my father, who'd play bass. And I was looking for a solo voice on the bass at that point, and doing everything I could. But the thing about jazz piano, there were a million examples, you know. We had these beautiful Errol Garner records and Oscar Peterson, not to mention all the other people. So I knew what to do, because I listened to the record, and I go, oh, do that, and, you know. And when it came to a voice on the bass that was with the bow, there was no do that. There was nothing to do. So I went looking long and hard, and I just tried stuff. And eventually it led me to a lot of the great fiddlers, because there was a kind of a pre-existing tradition outside of classical music where people really played rhythmic music and did wonderful things with the instrument, and so it became a source for me, maybe a better source than any other thing. And even jazz violin, you know, didn't have as important a, you know, the more traditional fiddling has all these elements that are purely rhythmic, and that's what you need. That's the missing piece if you come from a classical background or even a jazz one. And that was what I needed to learn. And, you know, O'Connor was a big influence on me at that point. He's got one of the most sophisticated, you know, Boeing systems out there. All the fiddlers on, every one of them. And so I used that to kind of, it was the missing piece for me. Okay, I'm gonna try another piece. Let me think, I remember what I was gonna do here. Okay, this one I haven't been practicing this one. This one's gonna be a little sketchy. Okay.
Shows up.
And I'll mention a couple things about it. This bass is tuned a little unusually. E, actually, not right now. E, B, E, A. One of the bass players that I really admired, probably the one I admired the most, was Ray Brown. And he had this thing where he would always look for, even if he was in E flat minor or whatever key he's in, he found clever ways to use the open strings. And he was very sophisticated, like he was a piano player as a kid, and so it always sounded natural. It was such a trademark thing that whenever you hear that on any record from that period, you know, like in four notes that's Ray Brown, because no one else really knew how to make that move. So that was inspiring to me. So his next piece, once I get past the intro, is in B flat minor, but I use the open strings a whole lot. I just essentially use this kind of a cadence. Remotely like Ray did, but it's just very inspired by the way he would do that. Because on bass, we've got to have the open strings. It is hard work. So you got to find ways to use.